Good evening. This is Akashvani. I am Saira Mujtaba with the news at 9. The headlines. Free trade agreement between India and New Zealand expected to double bilateral trade in next 5 years to also open new employment opportunities for Indian skilled workers. Environment Minister Bhupender Yadav says Supreme Court ruling endorses government's sustained efforts to protect Aravali Range through Green Wall Project. Cyber fraud losses worth 660 crore rupees prevented in just 6 months with help of Financial Fraud Risk Indicator. Delhi Court reserves verdict in 1984 anti-Sikh riot case against former Congress MP Sajjan Kumar. Media organizations of Bangladesh hold rally in Dhaka to protest against violence and arson in two leading newspaper offices and subsequent government inaction. And dense fog conditions likely to continue in most parts of northern and northeast India till tomorrow. And now the news in detail. India and New Zealand have successfully concluded the historic and mutually beneficial Free Trade Agreement or FTA. Prime Minister Narendra Modi and his New Zealand counterpart Christopher Luxon held a telephonic conversation and made the announcement regarding the FTA today. In a social media post, Prime Minister Modi said, "The agreement between India and New Zealand has set the stage for doubling bilateral trade in the coming 5 years." Mr. Modi said India welcomes investment worth over $20 billion by New Zealand over the next 15 years across diverse sectors. Prime Minister Luxon, in a social media post, called it a landmark trade deal, reducing the tariff on 95% of New Zealand's direct exports to India. Briefing media in New Delhi today, Commerce and Industry Minister Piyush Goyal asserted the agreement reflects the growing strategic importance of India in world geopolitics.
It's our third FTA with a Five Eyes nation, Australia, UK, and now New Zealand. We are soon going to launch discussions for the terms of reference with Canada also. And we are already at an advanced stage in our discussions with the USA. This reflects the growing strategic importance of India in world geopolitics.
The FTA will also open skilled employment pathways through a new temporary employment entry visa for Indian professionals in skilled occupations, with a quota of 5,000 visas and a stay of up to 3 years. The deal will ensure zero duty on 100% of India's exports. It will benefit farmers, MSMEs, workers, artisans, women-led enterprises, and youth, while providing immense opportunities for labor-intensive sectors such as textiles, apparel, leather, and footwear. Union Environment, Forest and Climate Change Minister Bhupender Yadav today emphasized that the Supreme Court's ruling in Aravali Range matter recognizes and endorses the government's sustained efforts to protect the range through Aravali Green Wall Project. The minister stated this while addressing a press conference in New Delhi today. More from our correspondent.
Environment Minister Bhupender Yadav said no new mining leases will be issued until a detailed management plan for sustainable mining, MPSM, is prepared by the Indian Council for Forestry Research and Education. The council will identify permissible and prohibited zones, assess ecological carrying capacity, and mandate post-mining restoration and rehabilitation measures for the entire Aravallis.
Mining activity 0.19%.
Mining activity covers 0.19%. Mining will be possible only in areas less than 1%, and even there, no mining has been opened. It has also been stated that a scientific management plan should be prepared for this. Furthermore, if any new approval is granted, then prior permission from ICFRE must be obtained. Thus, the process has been made strict.
So, ye process ko strict kya?
Regarding the definition of Aravali Hills as any landform rising 100 meters or above, the minister said that such definition is only subjected to mining. Mr. Yadav further emphasized the protection of 4 tiger reserves and 20 wildlife sanctuaries in the areas, stating that the government is balancing ecology and economy together. Adarsh, Akashvani News, Delhi.
The government has prevented 660 crore cyber fraud losses in just 6 months with the help of the Financial Fraud Risk Indicator, FRI. The Ministry of Communication informed that more than 1,000 banks, third-party application providers and payment system operators have onboarded the Digital Intelligence Platform or DIP and started adopting FRI actively. FRI is driven by the active support of the Reserve Bank of India and the National Payments Corporation of India. The ministry also appreciated the efforts of all vigilant citizens and cyber warriors who are actively leveraging the Sanchar Sathi platform to report suspected fraud communications. Health and Family Welfare Minister J.P. Nadda today stressed that coordinated and synergistic efforts by the centre and states are essential to enhance influenza preparedness and response across India. Mr. Nadda said this while virtually addressing the inaugural session of the two-day Chintan Shivir, organised under the theme Strengthening Interministerial and Intersectoral Convergence for Influenza Preparedness and Response in New Delhi. The minister emphasized that it is vital to ensure preparedness and response activities, including surge capacities, are well aligned for the forthcoming influenza season. Union Minister of State for Health and Family Welfare Anupriya Patel has said the country has witnessed a profound transformation in its healthcare landscape in the past 11 years. The minister made the remarks while addressing the 7th convocation ceremony of Vardhman Mahavir Medical College and Safdarjung Hospital in New Delhi today.
This government has made its best efforts to strengthen the entire pyramid of healthcare, primary, secondary, tertiary, because we want three guarantees to our citizens. Healthcare should be accessible for all, healthcare should be affordable for all, and healthcare should be quality healthcare for all.
India has reaffirmed its commitment to continued humanitarian assistance and healthcare cooperation with a focus on the long-term supply of medicines to Afghanistan. Health and Family Welfare Minister J.P. Nadda reiterated this during a bilateral meeting with Afghanistan's Minister of Public Health, Maulvi Noor Jalal Jalali, who was on a visit to India last week. The Ministry of External Affairs in a statement said that during the meeting, a symbolic handover of cancer medicines and vaccines was made, reflecting India's continued support to the medical needs of the Afghan people. This is Akashvani giving you the news. For quick news updates round the clock, follow us on our X handle at AIR News Alerts. And for details of these stories and more, log on to our website www.newsonair.gov.in and download the News on AIR app. Welcome back. You're listening to News at 9. A Delhi court today reserved its order in a case related to the 1984 anti-Sikh riots in which former Congress MP Sajjan Kumar is an accused. Special Judge Digvinay Singh reserved the order for the 22nd of next month after the final arguments concluded in the case. Sajjan Kumar was produced before the court amid heavy security. In February 2015, a special investigation team registered two FIRs against Kumar based on complaints of violence in Delhi's Janakpuri and Vikaspuri during the riots. The Delhi High Court today asked Congress leaders Sonia Gandhi, Rahul Gandhi and others to respond to a plea by the Enforcement Directorate or ED in the National Herald case. The ED has challenged the 16th of December's order of the trial court that refused to take cognizance of its charge sheet against them in the case. The High Court listed the matter for further hearing on the 12th of March next year. ED has accused them of conspiracy and money laundering. It has been alleged that they acquired properties worth approximately 2,000 crore rupees belonging to Associated Journals Limited, which publishes the National Herald newspaper. A Goa court today extended by 5 days the police custody of owners Saurav and Gaurav Luthra of the Birch by Romeo Lane nightclub, where a devastating fire on the 6th of this month resulted in 25 deaths. The siblings had fled to Thailand after the incident and were deported to India on the 17th of December. Anjuna Police has registered a case against them for culpable homicide, not amounting to murder, and other offences. In Assam, an ongoing protest in the West Corby Onglong district turned violent today, prompting police to resort to firing to control and disperse demonstrators. Tensions escalated following an arson attack on the residence of Corby Onglong Autonomous Council Chief Executive Member Tuliram Ronghang at Dongkhamukham. According to reports, at least 3 civilians and 1 paramilitary personnel were injured in the firing and were rushed to the hospital for treatment. A joint protest rally was held in Dhaka by the Editors' Council and the Newspaper Owners' Association of Bangladesh over violence and arson in 2 leading newspaper offices last week and subsequent inaction by Muhammad Yunus-led interim government. Speaking on a talk show last night, president of the Editors Council of Bangladesh and New Age editor Nurul Kabir, alleged that either a section of the interim government or the government as a whole allowed the coordinated attacks and arson at the newspaper offices of Pratham Alo and the Daily Star on the 18th of this month. Echoing similar concerns, the Daily Star editor Mehfooz Anam said the attacks were murderous in intent, citing videos in which assailants threatened to kill journalists. Meanwhile, leaders of minority organizations formed a human chain in Dhaka, accusing the interim government of failing to stop violence, killings and persecution targeting religious and ethnic minorities. Protesters demanded a proper investigation into the killing of a Hindu garment worker called Deepu Chandra Das and accountability for those responsible. In a separate incident, a leader of the National Citizen Party, NCP, in the country was shot at by unidentified assailants in Khulna today. The Bharatiya Janata Party today organized a protest march in Kolkata to condemn the killing of Deepu Das in Bangladesh. The US State Department has expanded its online and social media screening for people applying for H-1B and H-4 visa applicants worldwide, effective from the 15th of this month. The move is likely to slow down visa processing and lead to delays worldwide, as expanded vetting now requires additional checks on applicants' social media profiles and online presence before their visas can be approved. The India Meteorological Department, or IMD, has said dense fog conditions are expected in most parts of northern and northeast India till tomorrow. These include Delhi, Haryana, Chandigarh, Himachal Pradesh, Jammu and Kashmir, Ladakh, Odisha, Rajasthan and Uttarakhand. The weather agency has further predicted dense to very dense fog over Punjab till the 27th of this month. Our correspondent reports that dense fog conditions have disrupted normal life in the region.
In the National Capital Region, dense fog led to disruptions in air and rail traffic today. Talking to Akashvani News, an official from Delhi Airport said that around 14 flights were cancelled due to low visibility at Indira Gandhi International Airport. Railways informed that the movement of several Delhi-bound trains were impacted, with over 35 trains delayed by more than 3 hours. Meanwhile, the air quality in Delhi NCR continues to remain in the very poor category. The government has said to curb air pollution, no waiver will be given on pollution under control certificates. With Ishani Yadav, Ankit Kumar, Akashvani News, Nayi Delhi.
The combined index of 8 core industries increased by 1.8% in November this year as compared to the same month last year. Commerce and Industry Ministry said the production of cement, steel, fertilizer and coal recorded positive growth in November. Benchmark domestic equity indices, Sensex surged 630 points to close at 85,567, while the Nifty added 206 points to settle at 26,172. On to sports now. Navy's Kiran Ankush Jadhav clinched the gold in the final of 10-meter air rifle men's event at the 68th National Shooting Championship in Bhopal today. Olympian Arjun Babuta secured a silver, while Aishwarya Pratap Singh Tomar won the bronze. In the 10-meter air rifle men junior final, Gujarat's Mohammad Murtuza Vania won the gold. In the 10-meter air rifle men youth final, Omkar Vikas Vaghmare took the yellow medal. In women's cricket, second T20 of the 5-match series between India and Sri Lanka will be played in Visakhapatnam tomorrow at 7 p.m. Indian time. And now, before we end the bulletin, the headlines once again. Free trade agreement between India and New Zealand expected to double bilateral trade in next 5 years to also open new employment opportunities for Indian skilled workers. Environment Minister Bhupender Yadav says Supreme Court ruling endorses government's sustained efforts to protect Aravali Range through Green Wall Project. Cyber fraud losses were 660 crore rupees prevented in just 6 months with help of Financial Fraud Risk Indicator. Delhi Court reserves verdict in 1984 anti-Sikh riot case against former Congress MP Sajjan Kumar. Media organizations of Bangladesh hold rally in Dhaka to protest against violence and arson in 2 leading newspaper offices and subsequent government inaction. And dense fog conditions likely to continue in most parts of northern and northeast India till tomorrow. That's all in the news at 9. Good night.